I had something else prepared for this evening, and yeah, by the time I reached where we were staying, for some reason I felt the Lord change that. So I told the Lord, "You got an hour, because we don't have much time left." So I trust that you'll be encouraged with it. I feel a bit scattered here. I have a burden, and my burden for this last period of time has been that the church would endure. There's always going to be a church. There's going to be a remnant of people that will endure, that will make it. But my burden has been and is, will it be us that will endure? Will it be us that will be among those that will endure? And as I've been pondering that, and so with that in mind, consider our lives tonight. You know your life. I don't. I'm from Indiana. I live 6 miles from the Ohio line, but I'm hours from here. I don't know your life. I don't interact with you. But you know, God does. God knows you through and through. There's not a thing that you hide from Him. Just keep that in mind. And so I was reading through the book of the first letter in Corinthians there. I was reading through that. And we have in Corinthians, we've got Paul. He's writing to the church. And most times when you think of the church of the Corinthians, you have a few thoughts that come to your mind. And oftentimes, the account of, what was it, fornication or adultery, that the man had his father's wife. You think of a number of those things, the head covering. You think of the love chapter. A lot of those thoughts come to your mind. You know, we have teachings on giving, how we should be givers in the book of Corinthians. And Paul, he's like a father there and teaching them how to live this Christian life. And Paul went there, I think it was around AD 52. He spent about 18 months there, if I have it history correct. The church was composed of Jews and Greeks. And so he's given them some direction. And you can imagine where the church at Corinth was located. The Corinthian, the city there was located between two seaports. That's where two seaports met. And so it was a lot of commerce coming and going through there. And it gives us a good picture of all the influence that was there. There was a lot of different ideas that come through there. There's new doctrines. There's an influx of new ideas. Idolatry was there. And somehow, as this church was planted, Paul plants this church there, and sin comes into the church. There's false doctrine there. Paul is debating, and or he's not really debating, but stating the facts. About some were arguing that there is no resurrection, and he's stating the facts of there is a resurrection. Just false doctrines, heresy, and the two verses that stuck out to me in 1 Corinthians 15:22. it was 15:33. Paul is speaking on the resurrection. And then he says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." So he's speaking to a church. There's a church here. A church that's been planted by him. And after some time, he's writing back to this church saying, there's people there that don't have the knowledge of God. They're not understanding God. And he says, "I speak this to your shame." And the burden of my message came in large from verse 34. "Awake to righteousness and sin not. God wants us to wake up. He wants us to be alert in our Christian lives. And, you know, as this church was planted, sin came. And we have the account of the man taking his father's wife. It was immorality. And then there comes false doctrine. Then comes heresy. And I had to think of a very, very profound statement by Brigham Young. And I'm not a follower of Brigham Young. However, he made this statement. He says, a heresy is only dangerous if you ponder it and wonder if it could possibly be true. Think about that. Now, if you know Brigham Young, he's not a man that we could follow. We wouldn't say that he's a man of God. However, it's a very profound statement coming from him. A heresy is only dangerous if you ponder it and wonder if it could possibly be true. You're entertaining other ideas. And that's a very dangerous thing for us to do. We have the Word of God. It's true. It doesn't change. We can stand firm on it. As Paul, writing here to this church, encouraging them to wake up. Wake up. And that's where my burden come from this evening of awake to righteousness and sin not. Enduring to the end. It seems like there are so many distractions in life. Excuse me. So many distractions. You can be having personal prayer time. And there's sometimes a distraction happens in life. Excuse me. Hello? Okay. Hello? Oh, yeah. All right. That was my wife. I was late for supper. Sorry about that. Anyhow, going back to distractions here. There are so many distractions in life. You can be having personal prayer time. You can be meeting God in a very personal, deep way. And you know, somebody disturbs that. And I don't know if you've ever found this in your life. You can be having family devotions. And I don't know how you all find this. Maybe you all have this pretty figured out, where nothing ever gets in your way. You've got that at 6 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock. We're going to gather right here. This is family time. And we're done. That's it, right here. Every night it happens. It don't matter what I'm doing that day. But we're going to be here at 6 o'clock every night. Maybe you all have it figured out that way. I don't. I don't have life figured out quite like that. Life's just pretty real for me. And I suppose it is for you as well. Life's pretty real. It's pretty full. Oh, I forgot a couple text mails. Yeah, well, that's a blessing. There's people going to be praying for me. Oh yeah, sorry about that. I'm back here. And sometimes preparing a sermon. My point is, so many distractions in life. I don't take this thing with me. I don't like this thing with me. There's too many high, valuable things in life to let distractions in our lives. But I give you that. Just a brother did that a while back, and it just spoke to me. That thing there is a big distraction in life. That thing there makes it in your personal time with you and God. Did you know that? Maybe you are disciplined enough to not do that, and praise God. We should be. But my burden tonight is awake to righteousness and sin not. Idolatry is sin. Anything that takes priority over God. Friends, that little device is only one distraction. There's many. There's many. But, so my burden is tonight that we would wake up, take our lives serious. So many times, I am guilty of this. We try not to let it be a pattern in our lives. The phone rings, and it's one of those times where you had a busy week and devotions, hardly family time, just barely got made very much that week. And that's just pretty real for us. That happens at times. And then that phone rings. Oh, somebody needs something. But you know, they could have waited. Oh, they got to talk to you about something. Okay, you could call them back. Well, no, it's not that important. You follow that? So many times, this world and its distractions rob us from this beautiful time with God. There's many things that can happen that way. I try to, by the grace of God, you know, when I'm preparing a message, I try not to invite my work along in that project. Keep your phone beside you and ding emails, ding text mails, phone calls. That gets really annoying. But the world wants in. It wants to be a distraction to us. It tells us here, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. And I was thinking of false doctrine is an evil communication. But also letting a lot of these things corrupt our private time with God. That would fall in an evil communication. And there's many, many areas in life that we can be distracted in. But my burden is that we would endeavor to live a life separated to God. To live a holy life separated to God. And that we could come to a place that we can discipline ourselves and put God first. Because whatever we put before God ends up becoming idolatry. And I believe you all know my heart. If there's an emergency, there's an emergency. You respond. But I'm talking about this undisciplined life that allows all these distractions to come in and ruin our personal life with God. The children of Israel, they were full of idolatry. They liked to look to things other than God. Murmured and complained. They looked to Egypt. Think about it. The children of Israel looked to Egypt. They thought it was better back there. They looked to another source other than God for their to supply them. And we have many, many professing believers that are trying to live the Christian life with one foot in each camp. Trying to live this life with a foot in each camp, with a foot in each kingdom, with an ear for either one. And some people started their Christian life right. They were on a journey. They were zealous for the Lord. But then distractions come in. And we start to compromise. You know, in these, when we start to compromise and we start to let distractions come in, our Christian life becomes more shallow. Our Christian life becomes shallow. We end up being more like our fast-paced society, to where we don't have time for a family meal. We gotta hurry, we grab something through the drive-thru. We don't have time to take time to enjoy life. We got to keep things in a hurry. And there's a time and place for that. However, our Christian life too often ends up being that way. For our devotional life, it's you grab a quick verse and you run. Because we're undisciplined to meet with God. Maybe it's just you get an app, you have a Bible app and it texts you a verse and that's your time with God that morning. It's this fast-paced society. It breaks us down because we don't take time to hear from God. God would have us to take time for those things that are important. To endure to the end, we're going to have a deep-rooted relationship with the Lord. To make it all the way through, we're going to have to go deep. We're not this shallow, the shallow Christian life where we're a lot of profession and not a lot of life. It won't make it to the end. This shallow Christian life that we don't take much time to hear from God. Just we go to church and yeah, good message, and we're on our way. We don't reflect on the Word of God. That shallow life, friends, won't make it. It won't make it. It won't stand the test of time. We live in a time that is very, very sobering to me. And I know that we've heard this. I've heard it when I was a little boy. But we've seen things. If you study where we're at in time today, it's alarming. We shouldn't be fearful, but we should be aware of the time that we live in. It's not time to just take it easy. Just cruise along. One of my fellow ministers, one of his favorite sayings seems to be lately is, we can't put it in cruise control and just sit back and take it easy. We can't. The Christian life, you can't do that. The Christian life is intentional. It's full of purpose. You want time with God? You want time with God? Then you schedule that time with God. You're in charge of your own schedule. Set your alarm to get up. Be disciplined. You want family time, so your family's struggling. Your family's just really struggling. Hardly, we're just not connected. You know you can do something about that? I'm going to say 90% of the time you can do something about that. That's in your power to change that. Well, I got a busy job. My schedule is full. I understand. That's why I said 90% of the time it's your fault. That's your fault. That's your fault that you don't prioritize. You'll be without excuse. So many of these problems, if we would just wake up and put God first. Wake up and be serious about the things that we do. Be intentional. The Christian life is intentional. It takes a purpose to live the Christian life. Let's not be deceived, but let's wake up. And as we live a more relaxed life, as we live this relaxed life where our schedules are full, not full of God, but they're full. Occasionally we'll squeeze in a little time to witness to the clerk here. We'll squeeze in a little time to witness to maybe a co-worker here. But our personal life with God is pretty empty. We're not meeting God. We're not being filled. I know what that's like. I know what a busy life is like. I know what missing valuable time with family is like. I know that. And that's my burden, is that we would take it serious enough to make those necessary changes for the things that are important. The things that have eternal value. Do our children have eternal value to us? Is that something that is valuable to us? Are we concerned that they make it? Is that something we're concerned about? It should be. But our life will tell us how concerned we are. I don't know your life. I don't know it. I don't know. Maybe you are very zealous and you got that all figured out. I got a feeling your life is just as real as mine is. And sometimes we need a wake-up call. Sometimes we need to come back and meet God afresh and stay tuned in with God. There's time for that. And I want to encourage us to not lose that. Because when that laxness comes in our life, the Corinthians, I imagine a church here that was excited about the gospel. Most new churches are excited about the gospel. I know when I was first born again, I was excited about the kingdom. That was exciting to me. Did you find it that way, Mark?
I did.
He did. I'm guessing many of you others did as well. I was delivered out of sin, from darkness, from bondage, from things I couldn't get free of. And my God delivered me by Jesus Christ. I was excited. I had a new life. You know, it burdens me when I myself at times allow myself to be too busy for things that are important. And it burdens me when I see others that way. And so that's my cry tonight. That we put things first that need to be first. It's by the grace of God and the mercy of God that we have this opportunity. Do you really believe that? That is the only way you have this opportunity. Just a bit of a testimony. And it strikes me. It smites my heart when God shows me my slackness, my slothfulness. Because as a young man, it's by the mercy of God that I'm here. Because as a young man, a doctor standing over me said, "We lost him. We lost him." You know, friends, maybe that didn't happen to you. But either way, at one point in time, we're lost. We're outside the kingdom. But I discount the mercy of God to be spared, because if I would have died, it had been a Christless eternity. Forever and ever. And it just smites my heart when I'm slothful today. The grace of God that was shown to me, and in return, I have negligence. Lord, help us. He will. But brothers and sisters, it takes us staying close, connected. John talks about Jesus being the vine. We need to be connected to that vine. That needs to be our source of life. It needs to be daily. Let's stay connected. When we get lax, when that happens in our lives, sin is just around the corner. Sin is just around the corner. So many people start zealous. They start excited about the kingdom. I picture the Corinthian church, zealous, on fire for God, excited, out witnessing. I don't know how they were, but that's typically how I find churches that are excited about God. New believers that are excited about their new life. They want to tell everybody about it. They're excited. But what happened? What happened? Something took place. Something took place in this church that was devastating. What happened? One of the things that happened is they entertained false doctrine. Did you know, brothers and sisters, friends? Did you know if you stay connected to the vine, you stay plugged into the Word of God, you surround yourself with faithful men and women of God, did you know that you can discern very easily false doctrine? Did you know that? But with a lax life, with a slothful attitude, you're setting yourself up to fall. You're setting yourself up to fall. I have seen men take their families with a false gospel. They were excited. They started on the journey. A bit like the Corinthian church. They started. They went. They had a testimony. But you know, just a little disgruntled with the church and you pull back. Where did that start from? Maybe it was their personal walk a little bit lax. Entertaining some different ideas all of a sudden. But because of not being plugged into the Word, not being plugged into the body, they found themselves standing out and always at odds and entertaining different doctrinal thoughts. And now you look at the family and the children are there. Some are over there. Dad and mom are here and they're obviously not on the same page. They get to take one of their little ones with them to church. But you talk to them and God is so good. God is so great. A lot of profession. But there's something wrong. There's something wrong. And God help us to discern. The devil will go around as an angel of light to deceive the very ones he can. And if we don't stay diligent, brothers and sisters, we won't make it. Because we're not, I heard this quote once, we're not a match for the devil. But because of Jesus Christ, he's not a match. If we stay plugged into Jesus Christ, we stay connected to the vine, the devil is defeated. He is powerless. But friends, on our own strength, disconnected, you and I won't make it. If you don't believe me, get your Bible and study it. Jesus Christ will clearly tell you, you won't make it. But as life gets lax, as we start slowing down, our vibrancy is dwindling. We start entertaining different ideas, false doctrine. And then the whole thing of what's wrong with that starts coming in. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that kind of music? What's wrong with that kind of music? There's a lot of things wrong with a lot of music. And if you have, if you're engaged with some of those things, you'll find a lot of things wrong. We, as believers, we can put on a show. Do you know that? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's called hypocrisy. We can put on a show. We can deceive people. But you won't deceive God. You won't make it. You won't fool Him. Because He sees clearly. There's a man. He was a faithful church member. He was always at church first. He always unlocked the doors. He always opened them up for everyone. He was diligent in all the things that he did for the church. The pastor, the members, they thought this man was a wonderful brother because of all his kind actions. But there's something in this man's life he was hiding. And the only way it came out was on his deathbed. He died a horrible death. And he confessed there to his pastor of things that he was involved in. Fooled him all the way to the deathbed. And died a horrible death. He couldn't find repentance. But this man fooled everybody. You and I can try to fool people and we can get it done to a degree. But you won't fool God. You won't pull any wool over his head. He sees you and I for who we are. God, he doesn't like hypocrisy. You know, as we are in this kingdom of God, and I'm speaking by and large to those of you that are born again. If you're not born again, you're not in the kingdom. There's nothing for you to endure. You're outside. And just thinking of the words in Mark quickly, for those of you not born again, Jesus, he gives you this invitation. Whosoever will come after me, let him take up his cross and let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Jesus Christ has made provisions for you and I to be inside the kingdom. He has made provisions for you and I to make it to the end, to be able to endure to the end. And for those of you that haven't entered, You're not promised that you have a lot of time. Keep that in mind. You're not promised tomorrow. I had, just quickly, I had in my own family, 2 years ago, my dad died of a heart attack. And it was midnight, New Year's Day. New Year's Eve, what would that be? It was midnight. That morning was the first of the year. Just like that, of a heart attack, he was gone. There was no time. There was no time. Too often we think that we've got time. Friends, to get in the kingdom, today you have time. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised 10 years from now when you want to finally quit sinning that one sin. You're not promised that. My grandpa died at 49 of the heart attack. I had a brother, or have a brother, who had heart troubles at 42. There was a sister in the community that died just recently of a heart attack at maybe 4 a.m. Do you see the seriousness? Do you see how you're not promised tomorrow? So those of you that are outside the kingdom, I encourage you to find God. He has given you an invitation. It's up to you to respond to it. There's a young man in our community, him and another man driving on slippery roads, lost control, rode the truck, hit a big corner post, smashed the entire side in. He lived just a little bit after that. I don't know what took place right before he died. But I do know that he entered eternity in his prime. I'm thinking right around 20, maybe 21. He had a girlfriend. He was about to get married. They were looking forward to more together in life. A lot of things going for him, very wealthy in business. But you know, it was like that and it was over. It was over. I don't know what his final few minutes on earth were like. But I know that everything before that, he left me without hope. For those of you outside the kingdom that have not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted his forgiveness, you're walking a very, very fine line between life and death. You be careful with that. Going on to enduring to the end. I was thinking, there's so many Christians that try to have one foot in each kingdom. And I say Christians lightly, because Jesus says you can't. You're either in or you're out. There's so many that profess Christianity and they have a love for this world. You know, there are two kingdoms. And you know that. There's the kingdom of this world. And there's the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ came preaching. John came preaching the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He's teaching new kingdom principles for us to live by and follow after. Too often we make middle ground. Somewhere here, there's the kingdom of this world. It's full of idolatry, adultery, homosexuality, murder. Over here we have the kingdom of heaven. And it's full of light, love, brothers forgiving one another. There's humility here. There's life here. There's joy here. There's peace here. Over here, there's a lack of peace. There's hatred. There's unforgiveness. You know, in Matthew 6, Jesus, the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he taught them how to pray there. And he says, Father, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Think about that, friends. There are so many church people, so many church people that have ought one with another. Unresolved issues. Unforgiveness. Can I share something very sobering with you? You read on in that prayer. I think it's actually after the prayer. He says, if you don't forgive, if you can't forgive someone, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. Do you know which kingdom that puts you in? You can be in church. You can say all the right things. You can muster up a lot of life. But friends, that's sobering because it's not the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus in this prayer pronounced judgment on unforgiveness. You don't have to wait till you get at the judgment bar and hear that judgment. He already told us. You're outside. You're outside. So many people in church settings have ought one with another. And they will let that brew for years. For years. It sounds crazy. But you know what? It's actually pretty real. It's really real. Because you and I have something in us that's called feelings. And when they get hurt, we have a decision to make. How will I respond to that hurt? How will I respond to that hurt? Paul is crying out to the Corinthians, awake to righteousness and sin not. Tonight, that's my cry to us. Stop nursing hurts. Stop playing with those things. Stop playing with your life. If we are honest and we come before God, a holy God on our face, and we meet Him, and we see our wretchedness, friends, how can't we forgive? How can't we? There's two kingdoms. In this kingdom, there's greed. There's selfishness. How many times is that found in professing believers in the church? Can there greed be in the church? Selfishness in the church? Do we see those things as sin? The kingdom of heaven. Over here, we have a desire to live a selfless life. Oh, you have a need, brother? I can help you with that need. I have extra. Over here, we have more of an attitude. You know, if he wouldn't have done something so foolish, and if he wouldn't have spent his money that way, and if he wouldn't have bought that thing and did that there and took that vacation, those may all be right. But he has a need. He has a need. There's ways you can meet that need. It's not always just dishing it out and letting him do it again. But as believers, we can meet needs. But too often we have crutches that we hide behind. And we're not willing to meet those needs. The kingdom of this world is full of unforgiveness, lying. It's full of sowing discord, lack of respect for each other. In this kingdom over here, we have honor for one another. There is a joy of giving. Over here, we have a joy of keeping. It's greed. God loves a cheerful giver. over here, there's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the kingdom of this world. That's all it has to offer you. The kingdom of heaven is full of life and light. Denying yourself and taking up your cross and following the Lord Jesus. You know, too often we get carried away. We get caught up in this lax, slothful attitude in life. And we let things slide in life that we never would have. We lose a burden for the lost. That's another thing that in the kingdom of heaven we have, is a burden for the lost. But you know, we can get so caught up with the things of this world and we just lose it. We don't have it. God help us. I want to encourage you all to be faithful, to endure to the end. The Corinthian church, it started. I believe it had a vibrancy, but it lost it. It lost it. That's a living, written testimony for you and I to consider. That's possible. There's churches in the book of Revelations that started well. But when John writes a testimony of them, he has some concerns for them. Those were written examples for us. And we all have living examples we can take a look at. But God help us to awake to righteousness and sin no more. In this kingdom of this world, there's presumptuous sins. There's the sin that we think about, we plan it, and we act it out. The Bible talks about presumptuous sin. But you know what? Too often, people are content living that way under the umbrella of I go to church. Under the umbrella, nobody knows about it. I'm a good member in the church. They ask me to do things in the church. And if I say something, No. Too many times people do those things under the umbrella of church. We need to wake up. If that's you and I, we need to wake up. If you tonight are living that kind of life, we need to wake up. We need to come to God and be honest. Because we're only hurting ourselves. God has nothing that is a secret to Him. As I work with people in a lot, I find that in people in general, I guess, everyone has this fantasy world that they like to live in. Thoughts they like to chase after and think about. You know, that fantasy world is not real. It leads to sin. And oftentimes is involved with sin. That's where a lot of these sins that many people fall into come from. A life that's not vibrant for the Lord and entertaining other ideas. God help us. God help us to wake up and realize that there is no middle ground. It's either the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of this world. It's one or the other. There's no middle ground. And if we're going to endure to the end, let's wake up. Let's wake up. Let's go back to wherever we need to go back to get that vibrancy once more. Let's do that in humility. Let's go find God again. If you find yourself there, let's go back. Whatever needs to come out of life, let's go back until we find it. I don't know where you're at, but God does. There is going to be, I believe, many a soul that will not enter the kingdom of heaven. They might be found in the church, but they won't enter the kingdom of heaven because of secret sin. Because of a secret, it's just a little one. Just a small one. I'll take care of it sometime. Sin will never enter there. Sin will never enter there. Our God is a holy God, and He made provisions for you and I. Don't think that we'll slide something through. God, He's understanding. He understands my heart. I really don't want to be here. I really don't want to do that thing. Are you sure? Are you sure? Usually we're at where we're at because there's a secret love for what we have or what we do. And I am sure God won't wink at it. I am sure that as God is holy, you won't slide anything through. He won't wink at it. He did in days of old, it says, but He doesn't anymore. He made provisions for you and I. And when we don't accept that provision, it's kind of like we slap God in the face and say, we've made our own way. You know, I thought of this illustration. We're staying at Josh Miller's house. Mark Miller called me and said, we've got a place for you. You can stay here at this place. He made provisions for us. And then his son reached out to us, thank you by the way, and confirmed those provisions. He said, we've got provisions for you. And they extended that, anything else you need, just let us know. And we get there, and we were very disappointed. I mean, the house, it wasn't a mansion here below. I mean, I thought surely we would get that. Listen, the table wasn't even set and prepared with food. It was on the counter, but it wasn't here. And I'm going to guess that tomorrow morning I'll have to make our own bed too. Do you see how that's a slap in Mark's face? Do you see that? It might seem humorous, but do you get the point? God made provisions for you and I through Jesus Christ, His Son. And we don't accept that. You know what? Yes, I know His blood covers my sins, washes them away. And I hold on to this little secret one. You know, I know the blood's enough to wash that one away. But by the grace of God, through Jesus Christ, that one's going to slide through somehow. I don't have to take care of that one. I don't have to be honest with that one. That's a slap in God's face. You won't make it. And if I tried it, I won't make it. I want to encourage us to wake up to righteousness, right living. And do away with sin. Anything that hinders you and your relationship with God, do away with it. Do away with it. I know of people that are bound to their phones. They got their smartphones and they're bound to those things. You know what else I know? I know of godly men that said, I'm not going to let myself be bound to that thing. And they carry a flip phone with no internet. Well, that's pretty radical, isn't it? That's pretty far out. No, that's men that are serious about doing what they can to stay vibrant with God. Will we live that way? If you struggle with that, are you serious about God? Are we really that serious? Will you cut your arm off to save your life in the end? Oh, I need that thing. I mean, do you? With eternity in mind, do you? It looks pretty small when you look at it that way, doesn't it? Even if you got to go the long way around to go do your work. It's all right. Eternity's in mind. the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is in mind. We want to be all we can be for Him. And so my encouragement for us tonight is that we would endeavor to be all we can be for the Lord Jesus. And if there's sin in our hearts and lives, that we would awake to righteousness. That we would let God deal with that thing in our hearts. You know what it is, I don't. In God, He's willing to forgive. He's ready to pour out His grace for you to be an overcomer. He's willing and ready. But you know, I find with this little gadget, I find that hearts are pretty hard. I find hearts really hard. I find hearts that are not willing to connect with a holy God in this level anymore. Something's got a hold of them. If something's got a hold of us that keeps us from that, I would encourage each one of us, if you got to pluck out your eye, as it tells us in Matthew, or cut your arm off, that gives you a gruesome picture. Friends, cut it off. Get free from that bondage. If that thing's got a hold of you, if it's your internet, your phone, and some people aren't, it's not even the internet, but all the community of social media, their community, all their friends, even if it's simply just texting, always got to be so busy connected. Friends, I encourage us just to get serious with God. Because I find hearts so hard these days that you can have a preacher preach hellfire and brimstone until he's blue in the face. And it doesn't even affect people. We need to awake to righteousness. We need to examine the things that we're involved in. Our lives. The things that pertain to us. Is it righteous? Does it lead to godliness and holiness? Does it take away from godliness and holiness? We need to awake to righteousness and sin not. Too many times, we're okay with a little pet sin. Our hearts are just too hard. Something's got a hold of us. Friends, my burden is that we would endure to the end. And unless we're willing to wake up and do what it takes to be free, woe will be our end. You will not experience life everlasting. You won't hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You won't get that welcome. But rather, those little secret sins have kept so many out of the kingdom of heaven. So many men and women died and couldn't find repentance because they hid that thing and wouldn't meet God when He prompted them. That's sobering. "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." If we're not going to wake up to righteousness and sin not, that means we're going to continue in our sin. And that's our sentence. "Depart from me, I never knew you." That's sobering. And too many times in the church, in churches, I've just been pondering churches and all the troubles that have been coming up. A lot of them start with secret sins. Little hidden agendas. God forbid that we allow that to go on in our hearts. God forbid. I want to just close with a word of prayer. And I'll turn the time over to whoever's moderating, Brother David. And you can do as you see fit then. But I just leave you with that thought and that plea. Let's wake up. Let's be all we can be for God. If there is sin, secret sin, you can hide it from a lot of people. You can put on the right clothes and the right words can come out. But God sees you. He sees us. Let's pray. Eternal Father, Lord God, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, I do thank you again for this wonderful opportunity here, Lord. Father, I pray that you would just take my feeble attempt of lifting up your word. And bless it, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would help each one of us tonight to consider where are we? Is there secret sin? Is there presumptuous sin? Father, search our hearts. Help us, Father, to awake to righteousness and to not sin. Help us to have hearts that want to be all he can be, Father, for you. Father, that we can endure to the end. Lord, we live in perilous times. We live in times that are dangerous for the believer. Father, help us to be faithful. Father, I just pray that tonight you speak to each heart where they're at and help each one of us to be honest. And I pray as a church here, Lord, as churches represented here, I pray each individual would get honest with himself and with you, Lord, and become a pillar in their church. A pillar, Father, in your church. Excited to help others to endure. Lord, help us. Help vibrancy ring once more in our hearts. God, help us. We thank you. We pray. Be with us the remainder of this evening and this week. We look to you to meet our needs here. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn the time on, you better.